Kate Miller into the game.
I'm glad he did. I'm glad he did.
22nd timeout with the Lakers.
I thought the pig would win the Oscar.
111-89.
You ever see the Oscar?
Be quiet.
p.m. on Sunday, June 20, 2021, and this is Basketball This Week Done Quickly. Well, there was still more news to come in the week after a very, very eventful Wednesday. There still was a lot of stuff to happen. Well, not a lot of stuff, but still some important stuff to happen on Thursday and Friday. The main thing being Rick Carlisle, coach of the Mavericks, resigned. So it was a pretty big deal to see the Mavericks continue to implode as the offseason progresses. There is also a trade, which is very unusual for this time of year. Basically, Kemba Walker was traded for Al Horford again. I guess it wasn't directly for Al Horford the first time. I guess something else happened there in the midst of that. But basically, the Celtics have reacquired Al Horford, and now the Thunder have Kemba Walker. He's expected to be moved again. We'll see if that happens. It's pretty likely, but we'll see. There are several destinations in Philadelphia, Lakers. We'll see where he ends up. All right, but what I really want to talk about is the playoffs. So playoff react. Well, Clippers Jazz ended up being pretty amazing. The Clippers just demonstrated like an unworldly will to win. You know, you don't usually. It's a cliche for the playoffs, but it's a cliche because it's one of those things that just seems to come true. The Clippers were down by 25. It was game 6. They could have went home and had game 7 on their on Utah's court, but you know, it was something they could have done. It would not have been unprecedented for them to win there, and they had that in their back pocket. And what they did was they said nah, and they rallied back from 25 down, and they won that game, and they won it in a pretty convincing fashion. So, good on them, you know? Like, it was very impressive to see. Like, the Utah Jazz were a team that sure looked like they were going to win the West this year. Circa game 2 of this series. But the Clippers just backdoor swept them. They just came in, and just once they got that series home, they just ran off 4 in a row. No problem, so. Yeah, good for the Clippers. And Bucks and Nets ended up having a pretty great Game 7. Definitely one of the for the ages. It was basically Kevin Durant versus the entire Bucks team. It was a series where after Giannis was just rightfully killed for what happened in Game 6 and Game 7, he was a little bit had it a little bit more together. Drew Holiday ended up having it together to end there. It looked like Kevin Durant won that game in regulation when he hit what looked like it was going to be a 3 at the time, but his foot was about an inch on the line. And it's it's funny because he wears a shoe size one size too big, which I saw some people like questioning. That's pretty common, y'all. I wear a shoe size half a size too big, or for one of my feet, a full size too big. So it's pretty common. I don't know why this people are acting like it's such a weird thing, but yeah. Because he did that, he basically sent that game into overtime. And in overtime, the Bucks. The overtime was really like if you love defense, you love that overtime because the Nets had one basket in overtime, and the Bucks had two. So that's what it was. And the game still came down to Durant having a chance to win it. And you could just tell how exhausted he was. He just let out an air ball. And man, he carried that team for, I think he ended up playing 53 minutes. I think that's 58 minutes, something like that. I think it's 53 minutes. 53 minutes. He played the entire overtime, played the entire game, and he just didn't have anything left in that last shot. And you could understand that. You have to understand that. He was just so amazing that game. And it's a real shame someone had to lose. Even I almost wish to see more Durant magic, but the Bucks are moving on. And somehow Clippers ended up playing another playoff series after that. So today was game one of Phoenix versus Clippers, and Phoenix didn't look like they were missing Chris Paul at all, which no surprise to you if you're listening to this podcast. But yeah, like there were a few. It was a very close game, a very well coached game, very well thought out game. The Suns just were able to. They were able to play their style more often. There was a couple stretches of the game where the Clippers forced Phoenix to be a three-point shooting team, and that's not really where they're at their best. They shoot some threes and they make some threes, but that's not like they play well, you know, getting inside and then creating a shot on the outside, and that's not necessarily that. Maybe from Ayton, who by the way was very good, as I predicted. but it wasn't only from Ayton. It was, Booker driving inside or kicking, or Campaign driving inside and kicking. And for the most part, Phoenix was able to play that way when they needed to. And that's why they won. Good game. I expected that to be a very good series. What was not a very good series was the nightcap for tonight. Hawks Sixers, Game 7 there. It started out okay. Like the first half, the ball was pretty good, but the second half was just terrible. Lots of misses, lots of open shots missed on both ends. Like the Hawks are not an amazing defensive team, and the Sixers just put up brick after brick after brick. And Ben Simmons just, you know, he didn't contribute anything. It's really one of the weirdest things I've ever seen. Ben Simmons is like, Ben Simmons, when he got into the league, was amazing to watch. He was so fast, so strong, like, and just had a killer instinct. Like if there was a lane to the hoop, he took it. And that's not this guy. That's not who Ben Simmons is anymore. it's inexplicable. They definitely could have used some of that tonight when the mid-range shots and the threes weren't really falling for the Sixers, and the defense was good, and maybe arguably good enough with the offense, but it wasn't there. But it's not all on Ben Simmons. Like, there was a lot of people in that game who played pretty bad, and a lot of people in the Hawks who played pretty bad too, to be honest. Kevin Huerter. I think you just say Kevin Huerter, but because it has a E in it, I want to say Kevin Huerter had a unlikely source of a great game. And all that talk about how important Seth Curry is, he wasn't very good tonight, and he was so bad on defense. Like, this Kevin Huerter guy just bonked him. He just took it to him over and over, like he was Kobe going on one of those famous Kobe stoppers over the years. I'm thinking of somebody on who was on the Lakers and then on the Blazers. I can't remember this dude's name, but he was known as a Kobe stopper for some reason, because he had one game where Kobe was like shot 20%. Like, Kobe doesn't have, like, Kobe has a game every series where he shoots 20%. Usually has very little to do with his how he was defended, but that poor guy got called the Kobe stopper, and Kobe just killed him over and over and over and over and over and over every time they matched up the remainder of his career. So, yeah, that was what Kevin Huerter did to Steph Curry today. He just sunned him. Yeah, so that was it for that series. That was it for the night. I'm glad it's over. I think Hawks versus Bucks can be. I think the Hawks have a chance. The reason I think the Hawks have a chance is because the Bucks have just like the coaching is so bad on the Bucks, and like they seem so like mentally. I hate to say like I hate these cliches, but like they don't seem like their head is in the game, and the Hawks seem like their head is super in the game, and I think it makes a difference. I don't know why. There's no way to prove it makes a difference. There's no statistical measure that shows how it makes a difference, but it sure does seem to. And that's an advantage the Hawks definitely have. So I give the Hawks a decent chance of winning that series. The Bucks should win it if everything goes how it should and all the talent plays out like the talent should play out and all the experience plays out like it should. The Bucks should win. But the Hawks, they didn't bother Hawks before in this series, and I don't know if it's going to bother them now. So, yeah. I'm glad the Western Conference and Eastern Conference finals have both started, or we'll both start by the next time we're doing this. Yep, and there are definitely some teams to salute. So let's get to saluting. The Utah Jazz. They play ball the modern way, quote-unquote. The right way, quote-unquote. But they have a model that should be sustainable, and they have a team that should be able to add some parts around the edges that keep things going for them. I'm pretty excited to see what they do in the future. I think if they can find some way to get a little bit of defense on this team, then they have a very high ceiling going forward. Probably would have been good to win this year when the Lakers are out of it, the Nets are out of it, the Sixers are out of it, etc., etc. But, you know, the teams that either have a better offense than them or a much better defense. But there's no reason why they can't do this again next year. They're still going to be younger than some of those other teams and still going to be likely more healthy. So I think things are looking good for the Jazz going forward. The Brooklyn Nets. Well, maybe with more time, you know, they can figure out how to get that defense to play better together and figure out a way to manage their minutes better so that they can be healthier in the end. It wasn't really their fault that they weren't able to have good health in the end. Nobody in the league was able to have good health this year. So it stands to reason if they were able to have like the full effect of their three best players that their unstoppable offense would not have been stopped. So the Nets definitely still are very likely to be very good next year. The Philadelphia 76ers. Well, They still have, like, the bones of a team that can win a title. There's some problems, and they need to address those problems. If they can, though, then they could very easily be the East representative next year. They have a really good defense, and that goes a long way. They just have some problems that they need to fix, so hopefully they can fix those problems in the offseason. The Utah Jazz, the Brooklyn Nets, the Philadelphia 76ers, I salute you. All right. Well, that's it for today. If you're enjoying all this good basketball on the screen, I hope everything's going well for you. It's going well. Going okay for me. But, you know, it's going. At least the basketball is good, right? All right. I'll talk to y'all later, my beautiful friends. Goodbye.